Good morning. Goedemorgen. How are you doing? Fine. Good. This is a session is about deep dive on the Agile tools. Before I dive deep, I want to know, is everybody familiar with the Agile planning tools? Yes? Who has not seen the Agile tools yet? A couple of hands. So before I start, I will show you what the Agile planning tools are, because we are going to customize them, and it doesn't make sense if you don't know what it is to customize it. So before I dive into the slides, let me go to this. In TFS 2010, everybody using TFS 2010? Yeah? Nice. There was sort of support for Agile planning. We call it the Excel workbooks. And everybody loved them. Well, not really. So we saw that the Agile practices got more and more traction. And so we started to build a nice fit-for-purpose experience on the web. So this is the new web access. We completely redesigned it. And with this experience, you can do the Agile, and specifically Scrum. So what you see in Scrum is you have a backlog. The backlog is just an ordered list of ideas. So we have ideas over here. And you can order them. So now you can just drag and drop those things in a specific order. You also have the story points, or as it's called over here, the efforts. And that's just a measure of the size of a user story. It's not in days, it's not in hours, it's just a measure to compare them to each other. And what we show over here is the velocity, what you have done in the past, the number of story points, so you can do some estimation. And we have added the forecasting. So based on that estimation, when I open the velocity chart, you see it is around 25, 26. So let's enter that value, 26. And then you see what we can deliver to our customer in the next few sprints. So now we have the backlog. It is ordered, and we're going into sprint 4. And, well, let's do those two stories. We just add them to to sprint 4. It's just a drag and drop. And as you can see over here, it is changing the iteration path. We're using the iteration path to identify the sprint you are working on. And so you can go into sprint 4, and you see those user stories. And I can create tasks, but I can also just show the existing sprint because it has some more data. You do a breakdown of your stories into tasks, and the task gets the actual values. So what you do at the first day of the sprint, you come together with your team, you have those stories and story points. The story points is basically useless because now we're going to do the breakdown, and the breakdown is in actual hours. So this is now the breakdown, and you see on the right-hand side of the screen, you see the, if it fits or not. Well, it shows red, so probably it won't fit. And indeed, we have an estimated of 135 hours, and we have only capacity for 50 hours. So where does the capacity come from? We have added the dates on iterations, and that is something what was requested before, so now we have implemented it. And you can click on this, and you see that's the iteration with the dates. So right now, we only have 2 work days remaining, and we set our capacity. So for each member of the team is a new concept in Dev 11, for each member of the team, you can specify the capacity. We don't specify that it is in hours. It can be days, it can be flowers, it can be anything. Probably most people will use hours. So based on these values, we see that we have 5 team members or 5 hours. We have 2 working days remaining, so probably that will add up to 50 hours. And in the capacity planning, while we were building the tools, we have spoken to our customers, and we find out that the customers use three different types. So one is only interested in team. So that's what you're seeing over there. We have interchangeable disciplines, and or maybe we only have devs. And I don't care who is doing the work as long as the team can commit to it. Some teams, like we use internally, are more interested into the disciplines. We have devs, and we have testers, and they, well, maybe they can do some load balancing, but normally the test tasks are for the testers only. So I have the, I'll put some values in here, so you don't have to see me typing. We use the activity field for that. So the activity field has been around forever, and now it has some value. So I publish the activity on the tasks. Oh, it was already there. I didn't even have to refresh. And now you see that dev and QA are red. So we have a problem on the full horizon, not only on one of the activities. And this is how some teams work. But maybe we have very specialized people in our team, and we want to know if every single individual is within its capacity or not. Well, no problem. We just copy the values of we assign the tasks to somebody. Publish again. Oh. That was not correct. That's better. Hit a 5. And there you see. So you can even see it's by person. So now we know we imagine that this was the beginning of the sprint. We are able to commit to all those stories. It is within our capacity. We have some room available, some available capacity for things that can happen along the way. We commit to it, and we're executing. So in Scrum, when you're executing, you're doing your daily stand-up. And you are interested in the progress of all the work that it's that you committed to. So we have a board. And that board shows, again, all the user stories on the left side of the column, and it shows the tasks as tiles. And you can move those tiles around. Just move this one to in progress. Normally, where you do stand-up, it is person by person. So let's imagine that Peter is doing something, and you see that it collapsed all the stories that Peter is not working on. So you have a view only, and of course this the screen resolution is a little bit low, but normally you see all the tasks of Peter, and he just says, well, I worked on this this rental screen, and this web service is done. And maybe he says, well, I can work on this exploratory testing. And because you're in the person filter view, it's automatically assigned to him. And we also see a burn down over here. It is a burn flat more. But you saw that there is a little bit of the drop down because I resolved 20 hours. So this is, in a nutshell, what the Agile planning tools are. Any questions around this? So the question is, what about the support for multiple Scrum teams? Are they independent of each other? So a Scrum team with the same backlog, and do they share the only before the planning the same backlog, or do they continuously work on the same backlog? They share a backlog, and they work independent of each other? Well, you can, of course, do it. Can you sync with me after the session? Because it's, I can go into detail, but it takes some time. Oh, so the question is, why can I specify some rules on the work item? So when I change the state of the work item, those rules are applied to that work item? Yeah. Yeah, so the question is, can I make a field required, for example? Yes, that's possible, and I will show you that. Yeah, so do you have a field called area, and why do you want to use the area? What do you want to use it for? For components breakdown. Yes, we have. The area path was in the product since 2005, and you can still use it. When you create a new team project, so out of the box, we now use the area path to identify the team. But I will show you how you can change that to use a different field for the team, and then you can use the area path for the component breakdown. So I will show you that in the, later on in the demos. Okay, so what is the difference between the effort and the remaining work? The effort is on the user story, product backlog item, or the requirements, depending on the process template that you're using. And it is a sizing. It is not in hours, it's not in days, it's a sizing. It's a relative sizing to each other. So what we do when we started adopting the Agile tools, we just started. And we gave some stories a number because we didn't know where to start. And we said, well, this is a golden story, and this story is a five. And when we do our grooming meeting, we just compare that against that five story. And we also have an eight story, and we have a 13 story. And we just ask ourselves, is it more like this or more like that? And that's how we do the sizing. So, and the remaining work is really in hours. There is no, there should not be a relationship between hours and effort.
So you can backtrack on the
backlog items.
They won't be updated when you change the remaining work.
Yeah, so the good question. So your question is, what is the relation between the effort that I see on the product backlog, so this 13, for example, and the and this 27 that you see over here? Yeah, so the 27 that you see over there is just a sum of the hours of the child. But it's not related to the effort. So I can open this work item because it's just a work item. And then you see that it's an effort of 5. So the 27 is just a calculated field. Any other questions? No, the effort should be fixed. Good question. Yes, you can. The experience is that when you start drag and dropping, then you hover over the order fields, and then you can do the hierarchical backlog. That's how we do it. No. That's the fully supporting the Apex is something that is on our backlog, but this is the way that you how you can do it. So I want to proceed with the demos. If you have any more questions around this, see me after the session. So let's go to the slides. Where's the clicker? So what I want to talk about, what are the Agile tools? Well, I already did that. How you can make them work with your process template and with your processes. We have done this already. So when you look at TFS, it is a Smith's army knife. You can do everything with it. And we were very good in building new features, building new tools. And we didn't give you any guidance. You only wanted to open a beer bottle. But why do I need a saw? I only need the beer opener. So when we started planning in Dev 11, we wanted to give you that beer opener, and we wanted to give you that better experience and not make an even bigger Swiss Army knife. Also, when you talk about processes, there are some popular processes out there, and we just said, well, we support it. You can do with it. But the only thing that you wanted is a nice experience where you can do those processes. And we weren't good at it. So we changed it in Davalon. So questions that we hear is, how can I change the items that are up here on the backlog? What states do I see on the board? And so on and so on. And that is what this session is all about. So I'm not going to spend any more time on slides. We're going into the demos. So when you look at the, we saw the product backlog, and we saw the iteration backlog, and we saw the task board. How do we know what items need to appear on the product backlog? In 2010, we have introduced the categories. And we reuse the categories now to identify which items need to get on the task board and on the product backlog. So we use the requirement work item, sorry, the requirement category for the stories, for the product backlog items. Those things appear on the product backlog. And we identify a new category called the task category. And the work item types that are in that category will appear on the task board. No magic. So let's see how it works. Oh, and now I lost my command prompt. Yes. So when you look at the this folder, there are a couple of batch files that I'm going to use. It's nothing magic. It's just that I don't have to type so much. So when you look at here, it's just with admin commands with, and we added some nice names over there. You cannot remember them. So I will use those batch files. So what I'm going to do now is C for categories and then the name of the team project, which is called Cool Demo. So it is exporting the categories to a file, and it is opening the file. Oh. Still there. So we have the categories, and we have the requirement category over here. This is a Scrum template, and so we have in the requirements category we have the product backlog item and the bug. So there are two work item types on the product backlog, and when you look at the product backlog, you see over here that you can choose the bug and the product backlog item. If I would add another work item type, it would be in that drop down too. And in the task category, we add the work item type task. But you can, if you have your own process template, you can add your own work item types in here. And there is a field called effort. But that field effort is different in every process template. So how do we know what value we need to show there? Well, you just saw the export common process, I don't even remember it. Let me specify this this first so it works again. So I do the P for exporting the process settings, and then my team project called Cool Demo, and now it's opening, exporting the settings first, and now it's opening. So what we have over here, and I start at the bottom, we have, and we call them meta fields. So we have some types, activity, for example, and order, and some fields we use for the feedback tool. I'm not going to dive into that. We have the effort field, remaining work, and the team over here. So these fields are the mapping between the known things that we code against to the fields in your team project. And we'll play with it in later demos. Besides that, we also have the task board. And the task board has some columns in there. How does it know which columns to show? We do it with, surprisingly, we had meta fields, and now we also have meta states. So when you look at the items on the task board, we were working with tasks. So the again, mapping a task work item is the thing we do. So if you want to specify a new category, you can change that if you want. And there is a type again. And the type is something we know of. So there are only three types available: proposed, in progress, and complete. And you can map it to any state of the states in your work items. And so if you have different states, you just can add those states, map those states to the meta states that we have, the proposed, in progress, and complete. And we'll also add a state to the task board in a later demo. Before I really start customizing, I want to show you something. With the product backlog, and I turn the forecasting on and adding new work items, I turn it on. This is a cool feature, the column options. Just add it. So we couldn't modify the columns on the product backlog. It was awful. So I want to show you the backlog priority. That was one of the fields that was mapped to the order fields. And you see it is a nice sequence over here. That is because I specified that sequence. But imagine that you have a long list of thousands of items on your backlog, and you reorder, and it needs to change the values of 1,000 items, so we do something else. If you only make small adjustments, it only needs to modify a few things, and there you see already something going on. We just reorder it with great numbers, and we have some logic to create a nice distribution, so we have big gaps, so we don't have to modify those work items. And I'm telling this because of the accessibility, we have added the backlog priority to the work item form, and it is something that some people just question, what is it? Why am I interested in? Well, just ignore it. It's there for accessibility. So where we are now, it is over here. So we saw the app panel over here. And it's a title only. So when I add a new work item, it is there. Did you see where the selection is? And do you see a green line? That's where it will be added. But there is no effort. So I have to open it. I have to specify the effort and save and close. Well, that's not a nice experience. I want to have that effort in that add panel. We can do it. So besides the common process configuration, we also have the agile configuration. So surprisingly enough, I called the batch file, I called a cool demo. And in the agile process configuration, there are a couple of things you can specify. The columns that appear are on the iteration backlog and the product backlog by default. Because we didn't have the column options, this was our only way to add new fields. But it was on a team project level and not per individual. So now we have added the column options per individual. But this is the way how teams see it initially. And we have over here the add panel. So we want to have the effort. And maybe we want to also have the assign to. So I can type assign to, but I'm copying the effort. Oops, something. So close this one, and the batch file is then importing the settings. It's done. Hit F5, and there you see you have the effort and the assign to, and it shows you the same rules as it does on the form. So the assign to has the same drop down as the work item form, and if I add another item with an effort of 4 assigned to Brian Keller, then those values are added to the backlog. Yep.
Is there any future release where
the question is the will there be a UI for changing this? Yes, it's on our backlog. We created the design for Dev 11, but yeah, we just need to prioritize. And it was scoped out of this release. But yes, it's definitely something we want to do.
Did the
So the oh, so how do I know the ref name of the fields? The ref name is specified in the work item itself. Do you know the XML of the work item? So you can just copy it from there. We're just using the ref name. So if you have your own namespaces, your own ref names, contoso dot blah blah, then you can add contoso dot blah blah. Is the customization also possible in there? Oh, cloud. No. No. We don't allow customization in the cloud, and the main reason is because the what is awesome in the cloud is that on Monday we had a deployment. The deployment contains the bits of the week before, and we do it every 3 weeks. So your what you see on the cloud is newer than I have on my sandbox, because I'm not deploying every 3 weeks a sandbox. So the cloud is really up to date. And you will see that happening after Dev 11. You will see that happening continuously. So features that we are building, you will see them in the cloud. No, you cannot customize it. That's the trade-off for that frequent deployment. Okay. So the customization, is it bound to this? Where is it bound to? An open question. It's bound to team project. So it is based on the process template. You specify these settings. Those settings are in the process template, and that's where you specify them. So it is per team project. No, so the process template editor from the Power Tools, is it gone? That was your question. No, it is not gone. There is a beta version out there. That beta version works also for RC. We will ship a new Power Tools when we hit RTM. It is possible to do the customization of these things with the Power Tool, but it will be the same XML experience. The only thing is that you see XML in WinForm instead of in Notepad. Any other questions? No? So now we have added the fields. So let's take a look. I told you the remaining work don't need to be done in hours. It's a lot of people do it in hours. But is there anybody who is counting in other things in hours? No? What are you counting in? Sorry, is it phones? Oh, points. Okay. So I heard a story of a colleague of mine who said there was once he was at a manufacturing company. I even think there was a car company, and they counted in Ferraris. So let's change the value over here. That's an age, and you see that age also on the board over here. That age, and let's change it. So it is in the common configuration. And we open the settings again, and then we go to the meta fields. Where are my meta fields? Oh, sorry. I had to do the P. Yeah. P cool demo. And over here you see the age, but let's change it to points. Hit it, save, close this one, now it's importing, and you can do it fast. Then hit F5, and now we're counting in points. So that's how you can change that experience. And like I said, you can go wild. So let's go wild. Let's go to our role-playing environment. We don't have any requirements. It is Dragon and Dungeons, and we are counting in Dragons. We are counting in Dungeons. We are doing quests. So over here we have a dungeon 1, and we are doing some quests, and we are counting not in remaining work, but we're counting in remaining monsters. So we're going wild. So how is that possible? So I have over here the process template. And, oh, that's wrong. And as I said, we just have the requirement work item category. Sorry, the requirement category. So let's find the requirement category. Where is it? Over here. So we have our Dungeons and Dragons. And we have a task category. Where's the task category? Over here. That has quests. You can go out. So let's look at the quest work item type. We saw that we have an activity. But why does it need to be an activity? Why isn't it a character class? And we have some characters in here. There's even a very nice character in there, the if. And when you look in the iteration backlog over here, you see that we now have a fighter and a magician over here. So you can do anything you want. And some interesting thing is, sorry, I go to the board. No, I need to go to the backlog. So the, let's close this one and go to the process settings. Do it over here. So I have the process settings and I go to the common configuration. And so we map now to the remaining ones, not to the remaining work anymore. And the activity is mapped to the character class. The efforts, we are now in a monster has a specific level, or sorry, dungeon has a specific level. And over here, you see a lot of values over here. So let me give you some insight. We have the proposed, the in progress, and the complete meta state. What are we doing with it? So we have the requirement category. So that's the items on the backlog. And we show you all the items that are either in proposed or in progress. So if an item is complete, we don't show it anymore. So if the, what was one of the complete things, conquered or dead? I don't know exactly. So we have dead over here. So now the fire dragon is dead and we don't need to fight it anymore. So it's gone. So that's how we use that that mapping. So now there's something more interesting because we have the proposed that's always on the backlog, and then we have the in progress. In progress is a little bit harder to explain. Items that are in progress will be on the product backlog if they are not assigned to a sprint. So we have over here the Northern Castle. And what is an in-progress state? That's either fighting or conquering. It's probably it's fighting for a this is a dungeon, so we're conquering. And it is added to a sprint. So this will move it from the backlog. So you see it also over here. The Northern Castle was removed because, well, we changed the state. It gives you some visual representation why it was removed. But if we do the Eastern Sea Caves and we conquer it, it was conquering, right? Then it's still there, and because it's not assigned to an iteration. And then we also have the meta states on the task board, and that is used to calculate the burn down. So that's where we use those meta states for. Any questions? So the statement is you lose support when you customize the Agile process template. No. No. So we allow you to customize, and it is supported to customize. The only caveat is that who started in 2008 or before? Who has done the upgrade to 2010? Who liked that upgrade? Surprising. So what we have done, we wanted to mitigate that. So what we have done, I don't have a Dev 10 project, so I cannot show you. But if you go to a Dev 10 project and you going to the product backlog, it won't work because it doesn't have all these settings. So there's a link over there. It's called configure features. And when you hit that link, it's going into a wizard. And that wizard will import the new settings. So it's importing the code review. And for code review, we added work item types and categories. For feedback, we also did that. It's adding that process configuration settings, the common configuration and the agile. So it's adding all those things. And how it's doing that is it's reading from all the process templates on the server. And the it looks if we can find, for example, the work item that is in the requirement category. So if you're in the team project, in your requirement category, we have, there is the user story, for example. We look in your process templates on the server and see if there is a user story work item in that process template. So the CMMI and the Scrum won't work, but the Agile will. So we go further with the Agile process template. We have those in the process settings. That user story in your team project has some states. And does those do those states, do they also... let's say it differently. The process settings in the process template, we have some mappings in there. And the values, the states that are mapped in that process settings, do they exist in the team project, in the user story work item type in the team project? And if so, we are successful and we can bring you forward, because otherwise we import something that is invalid, and that's giving errors. So the configure features will work if you haven't done any renaming of the work item types and even you have renamed the states. So the experience to upgrade is much better. So on your question, do we support customization? Yes, we do. Should I go wild? Probably not. Or you, if you go wild, if you introduce your new work item types, if you introduce your new state models, it's possible, but you just have more work if you are going to do the upgrade. That's the caveat. Does that answer your question? Okay. Any more questions? No. So let's go to multiple teams. There was a question on multiple teams. How do I do that? So we are going back to the Agile demo. So this is working. This is based on the Agile process template. So we see not PBIs anymore, but we see user stories. And we add a new team over there. So there's a button over here, and you go to the admin mode. And over here, you can add new teams. When you create a new project or when you do the upgrade, you will get one team, and that's the team, and the name of it is the name of the process template. Of the team project. You can rename it, but for now, I'm interested in a new team. So I'm creating a new team, and you see over here that there is creating a new team area, and team area is an area path, and you can choose to create one, or maybe you want to specify your own area path. So if you already have them, and then it's not creating. But for now, just create the team. And we're creating another team, Team B. So when you look at this this team and you go into the area paths, sorry, in the areas that you want to see the work items for, you see that it's opted into Team A. So when you are in the context of Team A, you will only see the items that are assigned to that area path. And the next demo, I will go into what if I use the area path for my component breakdown. So let's go back to the product backlog. I want to go to my teams. It's not in here because this is a recently used list, but it is in here. Go to Team A. And now we change the context of the web UI to Team A. So we have a different product backlog. All the items that were there were assigned to the root level on the root area path, so we don't see them over here. There's no velocity chart because the velocity chart was of another team. So we create an item and another item. And we can go to Team B if it's added. Yes. Browse all teams. Team B. Navigate. B item, and another item. So when you look now, the area path is just a set to team B. That's how we do it. And if, for example, you want to have that item assigned to another team, what do we need to do? Anybody? Change the area path. Very good. It is so simple. I could have invented it myself. And we can go to team A. And there it is. You see on the left side, when we were in the cool demo, you see on the left side the product backlog and the past, current, and so on. So these are all the iterations. When we went to the team B or team A, we don't see it. We only see product backlog. So what you need to do is go to the admin mode again, and you not only see the areas but also the iterations. It lists all the iterations in the team project, but you have to opt in into those iterations. So if you have multiple teams working in the same cadence, like we internally do, we have, I don't know, in TFS we have 10 teams and they all work in the same iterations and different, and they all opt in the same iterations, but it's also possible that you have different teams working in different cadences, then just specify other iterations and you can opt in into different iterations. So that's absolutely no problem. So now we opted in those three iterations, hit a 5 on the product backlog, and there you see that we have iteration 1 and 3 are already done, and we can click on it. Probably there's nothing in it. And so no burn down, but that's the way how you can see how previous sprints went. Another thing that you want to do with the team is, right now there's only one team member. I want to have multiple team members. So I can add something new, and I can add Brian Harry, for example. And when I go now to my iteration backlog, in the capacity screen, I will see Brian Harry too, because I added him as a member of the team. I'm not talking about all those customizations, and I can continue. I will come back to you. And I can continue on demos, but maybe it's also interesting to see in any customizations you want. So my next demo is about the team field, but is there anything else that somebody wants to see? No? Component specification. So that's the same question. So you use the area path for... Sorry? Yeah, but what do you mean with component specification then? Yeah.
In the same team projects, you've got different teams working on different applications.
Yeah.
And you want to be able to specify which application we're going for, mm-hmm. which you build from.
Mm-hmm.
And we always use the area.
Yes. Yeah, so what I will show you is how you can use different fields for the binding something to a team than the area path. So then you can use the area path for your component breakdown, and then you can use that other field for the team.
What happens if you remove team members that is assigned to tasks?
So what happens if you remove the members that are assigned to tasks? Basically nothing. The assigned to stays there. The only thing is that they don't have capacity anymore. I could show you. So let me go back to the cool demo, because that one has data. And I have my iteration backlog. And let's see who's on the team. Home. So Brian Harry is not on the team. So I can go into my workspace and go into this sprint and change the assigned to, to a Brian Harry. That's the same scenario, right? So you see that Brian Harry is now accounted for 9 points, but he doesn't have any capacity. And that's how it works. And when you go into your task board, you will see the Brian Harry is listed over here, but he is not listed here in the person list because he's not... oh, he is. Wow. That's surprising. So that's how it works. Yeah.
5 points to complete.
Yeah.
Can you move on the remaining part of the next iteration?
Yeah, good question. So the question is, if I'm towards the end of the sprint and I have still some remaining work to be done, how does it work? So when you look at the this user story, for example, it has a couple of tasks. And let's say that this unit test is... We just do it in the next iteration because we just didn't came to it. The user story is I want to rent a movie. And when I now go into the... maybe there's something in Sprint 2 that's more interesting. And the task... So the user story is in 2 and the task is in 3. So probably I won't... this over here. So you see it in the iteration backlog, this task. And this user story is in the different sprint, because it has a task in the current sprint, we will show it in... we will show the user story too. If that user story, one, sprint two, has more tasks, but in sprint two, and we go back to the sprint three, we will only show you the tasks in the current sprint. So we'll show you the user story, but only the sprint, the tasks in this sprint. And the same is for the board. So we have now over here only one task. And when you go, it is not possible to view the board of different iterations. Again, that's on our own backlog, but didn't prioritize it over the other work. But we want to have the ability to switch for the board for different iterations, but for now you can only see the current iteration, so I cannot show you the board of Sprint 2. But if you were in Sprint 2, you only would see the tasks in that sprint.
How will it affect the reports?
How will it affect the reports? We did not make any modifications to the reports, so what happened in TFS 2010 will happen now also. I don't have the details of the report. If you want me to find out, contact me, and I can find out for you. Any more questions? So great question. How do we know what the current sprint is? That's your question. Yes, and it is based on the dates that you set on the iteration. And if you have overlapping dates, if you have multiple iterations and they have overlapping dates, then you can choose to only opt into the iterations that you're interested in. So, but if you choose, I've chosen the iterations. If you have to opt into iterations that have overlapping dates, we just choose one. We do that for you. I don't know the exact algorithm, but maybe it's just the first. The on which time zone is the date specified? It is specified of the time zone that is specified on the server, and we just finished the story to open up the option to do it on the cloud. So if you go to the cloud, you can already change it. So I'm not sure if you can change it over here. I think it is the time zone of the server. I'm not sure on prem where I can find it, but it is a setting. And so everybody, so if you have a team in India and in America and one in Europe, they all are calculated on the same time zone, and it's a setting. How you can change the setting, I have to find out. So there was a, were a couple of questions on the team fields. So let's change that team field. So we have the team fields we specify again in the meta fields. The meta fields in the common process configuration. So we do the P for process and then a cool demo. Oh no, I do it differently. The team fields, I need a, you can specify the field for the team can either be the area path or a custom string field. So you need to update your work item type. And I prepared for it. I have a team field over here with a task and with a user story. That is basically just the same one what with a team field. So I can go to CD team fields. And then import it into the Agile demo, the task. And I can import the user story. And when I now go to the Agile demo, and I open up the user story, you see a field called team with team A in there. And it is just it's bound of a global list, and you can specify all your teams in that that global list. But we're not there yet, because it's still using the area path. But we have the mappings of the meta fields. So now we can go into the P Agile demo. So we are editing the process configuration, which contains the mapping to the meta fields. So we have the team field, and it's now bound to the area path, and it's just typing my fields.team and importing the process settings again. And now it is making use of the team fields. So everything should be fine, but it's not. The reason why is because we opted in into the values that we were interested in. And it was the area path. And the area path is a string field with something called team A, but there is also something else in front. So the... Oh, this is the... let's go to the team A. Over here, areas. Wonderful. Go to team A. Selecting areas. And you see that it was bound to this field. But that field is not valid because it's only team A. So we just specify team A. And you can even have a team bound to multiple fields. For example, my team is not only... I'm the PM on WIT server, so that's the backend of work item tracking. But we are also responsible for the project server integration. So we also opt in into the project server area integration area path. And so if that responsibility goes to another team, we just opt out to that area path, and another team opts into that project server integration, and that's how you can move the project server integration backlog from one team to another. So it's just, hey, I also want to see the team C values. And you have the option of use as default, so when you create new items, then the area path, or in this case, the team field, will be set automatically with team A. So save changes. And I can go to the product backlog, hit F5, and it shows all the work items with the team A set. If you don't believe me, go to team, add it to the column list, and there you see it's team A. Does that answer the questions of the component breakdown? Yep. So there was also a question about the something called a master backlog. So what you see happening is that it's more a waterfall approach, is that there is one giant backlog, and at the beginning of the sprint, management comes together and just with the teams, and they say, well, this is the backlog, and which team is going to do what? So we have one master backlog, and then we have a backlog for each team. So we can do it. Let's go to CMI. And you see over here, there's a CMI demo that's on root level. And then there is the rentals, the inventory, and the platform team. So the root has the master backlog, and the other teams have the have their own backlogs. So let's go to the CMI demo. Right now, that backlog is empty. But when I go into the teams themselves, they have values. So why? Let's go to the configuration, and let's go to the CMI demo team, and then say configure work areas. Over here it says sub areas not included. So we're specifically looking for work items with this area path. I can change it. I can say include sub areas. Close this one. Go to work. And now you see the stories for each team. So if there was a question, how can I have one backlog for multiple teams? This is the way how you can do it. So when you look at the area path, you see that it has, from the rentals, the inventory, and the platform team. But for the demo, let's get back to not include sub areas. And go to work. So we have now a story, blah, and another one. And another one. And now we are in the big meeting, and we just say, well, this needs to go to the rentals team. The only thing that we need to do is set the area path, change it to rentals. And now it's removed from the master backlog, and now it's added to the backlog of the rentals team. Is there anybody working like this? No. So I could have skipped this demo. Is there, maybe this is a more frequent request. Add the bug to the task board. I want to track the bugs during my stand-up. Yep. Hands are getting too heavy. No, just kidding. So when we go to the Agile demo, let's go. This doesn't work. Let's go to Team A then. Team A, come on. Okay. So we have the board. And there's no bug in here. How can I add a bug to the task board? Well, I said items in the task category are on the board. So let's try. So the C4 category, and we are an Agile demo. And I'm not specifying the context of a team because we're always modifying the team project, and Team A is in that team project. So the modification that I do is also applicable to the root team and also to Team B. So let's go to the task category, and I have to remove the default. Otherwise, I get errors. Bug, import a category. Hit refresh on the board. And what happens now is that when I do the add, I get a context menu where I can specify whether I want to have a bug or a task. Well, let's specify a bug. In which column will it show? Oops. When I show the columns, in which column will the bug go? New? Who thinks that it goes to the new column? Who thinks that it's going to the active column? Smart people. Indeed, it's going to the active column. Why? Anybody? Why? Very good. Because the initial state of the bug is active and not new. So I cannot move it to new. I cannot move it to closed. So what's the purpose of this bug on my task board? I cannot move it. I want to flow this thing. Why can it go to closed? Because there's no transition from active to closed. So I can do now two things. Either I add a transition from active to closed to the bug. Nah. Or I can add resolved state to the task ports. So let's do that. And so we need to modify the meta states. P-agile demo. But the task. But the task doesn't contain the resolves. Well, the bug didn't contain the new. So we don't care. As long as if I now type something stupid, then it will give me an error because this state doesn't exist in any of the mapped work items. And so the work items in the task category. So there should be at least one of the work items contain this this state. Otherwise, we give errors. But because the bug has the resolved state, we're absolutely fine. So we can now... Sorry? Yeah, well, the comment is, should resolve be closed or in progress? For the task, it is only used for the calculations. So yeah, it's up to you whether you think it's in progress or closed. I think resolved is still in progress, but... Resolve for me means test needs to do something on this bug. So now we have the resolved state over here, and now we can move the bug to the resolved state. And you can add other states to there too, of course. So let's add the
rejected state.
The removed state. There is no rejected state on. Well, I can add rejected, but then I get an error during the import. Do we want to see errors? No. Removed. So hit F5, and the error is removed. So what now? What I now can do is. Move this this task to removed. That's a valid transition. But when something is archived or removed, there shouldn't be hours on it. There shouldn't be an assigned to. I want to clear those two fields. Well, because it's just a transition, we can specify rules in that transition. Everybody familiar with rules, transitions, and work items? Yep. So let's open the task work item. So W agile demo task. And I have a code snippet because you don't want to see me type. So oops. And this is just go to the states removed over here. So when it's going, when the removed is now doing nothing, but what we do now is empty out the assigned to and empty out the remaining work. So close this one. Now it's importing the work item type again. When it's done, hit a 5. We move it to new again. Where are you? On. Yes. And now the rule applies and everything is empty. So if you want to do crazy stuff on your task board, go play with the rules. We just apply the rules to that work item. There are I have 10 more minutes and I have 2 demos. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask. So the you already have a rule that the person who resolved the bug cannot close it. The that person, if the person who is logged into the system, is not able to transition it. It is an interesting case, though, because the task board is used during stand-up. And so you need to do some login and log out for every user during stand-up if you want to make that that happen, if it's based on a logged-in user. But no, you're making use of the the resolve by field and those kind of things. Then it should be fine. But yes, it is possible. We're just executing the rule engine. Yep.
Aside from the customizations, is everything that we saw here available in the cloud?
Yes. The question is everything that we see over here available in the cloud? This session is about customization. So customization is not available, but the task board, the product backlog, and the iteration backlog, opting in to sprint, setting the dates, setting team members, that's all possible.
Can you give the bug color?
Great question. Can you give the bug color another color? Another good request we get in that area is if I mark a bug as blocked, I want to see it as red. We are working on it, and I cannot commit to anything because we really don't know. We just plan a sprint ahead. We don't know. And it is not in this sprint, but it's high on our backlog. So it might be that one day you see it happening in the cloud. And if you're following the blog of Brian Harry, he's blogging every 3 weeks what's new in that deployment. So if you're interested in the cloud, and for the people who are not familiar with the cloud, go to tfspreview.com. You can sign up. We with TechEd US, we removed the invitation code, so everybody can sign up now, and you can start playing with it for free right now. Yep. The team members in Active Directory group on the cloud, yes, you can. When you go to the team members over here, you can add a Windows user or a group. So you can add a security group.
You talked about extensibility for wartime process templates. Is it also possible to extend the UI here? For example, if I want to add something like add all the not started.
Yep. So the question is, can I can customize and extend the Workhound tracking system. Can I extend also this tooling? You need to make use of browser plugins, and as far as I know, only Chrome supports that. So, did I say that loud? Yeah, so the... I was talking. Sorry, I was distracted. The question is, can I change the color of the items? No, you cannot right now. It will. We are busy with it. I don't know when we will do it and if we will do it. But the idea is that you are able to specify the rules. So, for example, if blocked is yes, then color it red or something. And yep. Yes. So that if we have that feature done, then you will be able to specify a rule that says if the workhand type is blah, then make it green. What is the best deal way to deal with impediments? What are it? Yeah. The impediment is just a workaround type. So you can, if you want to track it on the task board, that's fine. Make a user story called impediments and add every impediment to there, and you can track it. It has a state model, so you can have the states on those impediments. You can make it active and closed, and it's just a workaround type. Yep. Yeah, the add panel. Great question. I can find out because I think the effort field is only existing on the product backlog item and not on the bug. sorry, in the Berg. So we already have it. When I go to my cool demo, we added the effort fields on there. And when I go to the backlog, we have the product backlog. So if I go to the, it is just accepting it. And now I do add to there. Oh, the effort is on a book. So follow up with me later and we can find out. I'm not sure. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah, so I can. What happens if there is a validation error on the task board? That's your question. I can show that. If the rental service is going back into progress, there's a required rule, and this is the experience. Yeah, so they can just double click or click on this, and then the work item form is opened, and they can resolve that error. Yeah. So the 3 minutes left. Yeah, I think I covered everything. I have the different sprint schedules, but I've covered that. And maybe there's one last thing that I wanted to show you. There's we once thought of something that is called actions, and we used it for the check-in. When you check in a change set and you associate the work item with it, it automatically transitions it from active to resolved. Yeah? Okay. Now we have something else in Visual Studio. And by the way, everything I told about the web, it all works in Visual Studio too. So if you create a new work item, all the fields are populated and so on. So the Visual Studio is now team aware. So if you go to the web experiences for the Agile Planning Tools, the place to be. But Visual Studio supports the workflow for the developer too. There was on Tuesday, I think, a great question on the developer collaboration. So if you want to know what Team Explorer has, all new capabilities, you can view that video online. So when I go in here into my work, then you have some work items over here, available work items, and there is an in progress over here. And when I hit the right mouse button, there is an add to in progress. And when you add something in progress, then you want to identify that on the task board. So we thought that the actions is the way to do that. So what we have done is cool demo task. So when you open the task, we have two new actions, and they called start work and stop work. So over here, you see that on the transition from to do to in progress, there's a start work action. And how it works is that my work is looking for the first transition with that action for the state where the work item is in right now. So if that work item is in to do, it will find this transition, and it will execute that transition on the work item. So if you have your own state model, and you want to make use of that feature that if you move it to in progress, add this action to the correct transition, and the work item will automatically transition to the new state. And the stop work is the opposite around. So if you remove it from in progress, then that action will be executed. Yes? Can you do some tracking of start work and stop work so you know how much time a developer has worked on a task? That's your question. And the answer is no, we don't have it. And the reason why we haven't built it is because we focused on Agile and the Agile and Scrum, and they more think in it's all about remaining work. They don't really care about work completed. If you want to do that, what you need to do is you need to subscribe to the eventing model that we already have. And then you just track the stage transitions, and then you can do interesting things on things in there. But that's the way you do it. Nothing? No more questions? Then I want to end with this slide. Oh, this is interesting. Nice summary. So we had what we have seen is we have now the meta states, the meta meta fields, meta states. You can define the weekends. There are some areas in the world that have a Thursday and Friday weekends. We had the project settings, the agile project settings to specify how the project backlog and the iteration backlog looks like. We have the categories, and we have the team settings. And I think I covered everything. And we have added the dates. That was a request from 2005 already, and we finally made it. So the last thing that I want to say is please complete the evaluation. It helps me. It helps the event, but it helps also you. You can win prizes. So please complete the evaluation. And with that, I'm at zero. So thanks for your attention, and have a great TechEd.